As we all of us, O Lord, gather as one here to share the joy, to speak of your name, to bless your name and to glorify thee alone, O Father in heaven. As we share your joy, as we tarry here, O Lord, in you, for you, by you, the Lord who made all of us, created, formed, made and redeemed and called, Lord, we bless your holy name. May you bless us, Lord, to live a life that is worthy of this privilege of being called by the name of the Lord and called by the Lord to work in his vineyard, to work in his field, to work in building the wall together with him. Lord, we bless your holy name, O Lord. You call all of us, O Lord, that we are yours. Lord, we are here to proclaim that we belong to you and we belong to you alone, O Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, the fellowship of God, Lord, we are all rich in heavenly blessings. We are all rich in your mercies. We are all rich in your grace because, O Lord, you gave us everything that we need to rejoice in thy presence. You have provided all the needs of our spiritual life to walk with you humbly, closely. Thank you, Lord, that the love of God that we see from one another. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit of the Spirit that we taste from one another. Lord, as we walk this journey together as one body of Christ, may you be the head of this church always. Every single second of our life, O Lord, we want you to be the head of this church. We want you to be the mind of our life. We want you to be the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire who leads us in this journey, O Lord. Bless us, Lord, until we finish our race. It is not over, but Lord, everything is completed in your word. May you bless us, Lord, to be the part of the word that fulfills that completion, that perfection, that fulfillment of the word of the Lord. Whatever that you spoke, O Lord, it will come to pass. May you bless us that we are part of those beautiful promises, the word that is life, that is lamp to all of us. May you bless us, Lord, to be fulfilled in the way you want us to be fulfilled. We thank you, Lord, for everyone in our life. We thank you, Lord, for the truth. We thank you, Lord, that you are holding our tomorrow. For today, O Lord, may you bless all of us to receive the gladness, the joy, the peace, the confidence, the assurance that the Lord who loves us beyond anything, he will see us through. And that is the reason, O Lord, we are here. We know, Lord, that whatever happens, as long as we trust and obey thy word, as long as we believe and stay humble, rooted in the word of God, there is nothing can shake the God's children, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are looking unto thee, the author of salvation, the eternal hope of our glory. Blessed be your holy name. We surrender all of us in thy feet. May you bless us and teach us from thy word. May you help us to drink the water from the water of life. And may you bless us to be washed in the river of Jordan. We bless your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. This song is very close to my heart. This song is a reminder to me as a brother in Christ, personally, that when God Almighty called all of us, he ordained us, he predestinated us, he justified us, he is leading us, he healed us, he is doing everything that he is supposed to do so for his children. He is a wonderful counselor, great Almighty. He is faithful. No, he never steps away from his promises. He never fails to fulfill his promises. But the problem is us. The problem that we face in our life is always us. The Lord took the three disciples into the Garden of Eden and he just asked them, help, pray for me. He did not give them any command. He asked them, can you help, pray for me? The same way he asked the woman whom he met near the Jacob's well. Said, I'm very weary, can you give me water? And he told the same to the three disciples. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Can you give me water? Can you pray for me? So the three disciples who love him truly, who followed him truly, but yet because the power of Holy Ghost was not given to them, they could not be a witness unto him and they slept. It doesn't mean that they are weak or people who betrayed him. No. The Lord never insults his children. Amen. Never. God Almighty, he would never insult his seeds because he is in them. He just wants all of us to understand, not by power, not by might, not by following, not by learning, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And the three disciples slept. Why? They would remember this for the rest of their lives. I slept in the Garden of Eden. Isn't it? When they became apostles, yes, they can preach. 5,000 baptized. Peter, James, John. Wow, praise the Lord. But they would remember, I slept in the Garden of Eden. My name is Peter, I denied Christ 3 times. My name is Peter, I slept in the Garden of Eden when my life, when my master, when my teacher, when my friend who gave his life for me on Calvary, he came and asked me one last wish. One last wish. Watch and pray. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. But the disciples could not heed, could not do what the Lord wanted. They were not so arrogant or pride to do that. No. They were so tired. They were so weary. The flesh was weak. The spirit was not willing because the comforter was not given. The importance of the power of resurrection, the absolute critical need of us to be clothed with the Spirit of God, is so important that we could be with Jesus, but we could be sleeping for the rest of our life. The disciples, they understood, they received a lesson from Garden of Gethsemane. When our Lord was praying, the blood was dropped, was coming out. He was crying and praying. In the middle of this agony, there are 3 disciples, they received a lesson by sleeping. Jesus slept on the boat, disciples slept in the garden. Storm was going on, Jesus slept. There was a storm going on inside the heart of the Lord, Jesus Christ. He was praying, take this cup away from me. He was in the midst of the storm. But that boat, that garden, had 3 more disciples, 2 or more, to agree together with him in oneness. But they couldn't, they slept. What they said, Jesus, why are you sleeping? We are going to die. And the Lord says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. You are sleeping? Oftentimes when we tell the Lord, Lord, it is not fair, the Lord can remind us how unfaithful you are. You were in your life at the worst point of your life. He is not here to tell us, oh, you did this, I will do this. Oh, you did this to me, I'll do this to you. No. If the Lord decide to behave in such a way, we will be, become ashes or dust, to be mixed with this earth. That garden is what this song is inviting us. The garden where you failed, go back again and tell the Lord, this time, not the time when you asked me, where I showed how weak I am, how sinful I am. Everyone, all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of the Lord. What is the glory? When the Lord says something, we couldn't do it. Why? The Spirit of the Lord has to rest upon us, the glory of the Lord, for us to do what he says, for us to obey what he says. That's why, as we meditated last 2 weeks, when Moses said, my dear children, the Lord said all of this on the mountain. So I'm sharing this with you. And all the people said, all that the Lord had said will we do and be obedient. But that was heard by Moses, not by the Almighty. Why? God cannot hear false promises. God cannot hear wasting time, which is, let's say I said, Lord, I'm going to give you 30 minutes of oath. And the Lord knows whether you are going to fulfill this oath or not. If you will fulfill, he would listen. Why? He is gracious. He is not inefficient. He waits, but he don't fail. Amen? So the Lord Almighty, he taught all of us that I want these golden bells on the garment of high priest the way I want it to sound. I want the hearts of my children to be circumcised by my double-edged sword, for them to be filled with beautiful thoughts, for them to sound that I can say it belongs to me. If not, God cannot listen to all the prayers. He will not heal all the sicknesses. Because He is not full of sympathy. Amen. He is divine. So there are sickness that won't be healed. There are prayers that won't be heard. There are blessings that would never become curse. And there are curse would never become blessing. That is how God works. Because He takes His pleasure in His righteousness. Because that is the foundation, the life that we are all rooted upon. Now this beautiful garden and this beautiful tabernacle and this beautiful city. David ruled a city. The high priest watched over the tabernacle. The prophet Samuel, prophet Eli, they watched over the temple. And most importantly, the flame in the temple should never be put off. Amen? A prophet watched over the temple of the Lord, and a high priest watched over the tabernacle, sanctuary, and a king who watched over the city. Not his palace. That doesn't mean anything to the king. The king is a king only until the people are protected. Amen? We remember when Absalom, he took the throne of David, and the father, he ran for his life. Not because he is a coward or he was scared of Absalom, no. But there is promise yet to be fulfilled in the King David. God never called Absalom my king. Never. To God, who is the king? David. To prophet Samuel, who is the king? David. To the true children of Israel, who is the king? David. Then where is the throne? Wherever David is, the throne of Israel moves with him. Why? The Spirit of the Lord rested upon David, and from that day forward, the Lord's Spirit was upon David. So what is the throne to David? When he committed something against the Lord, he left from the righteousness. Amen? He left. Which means he lost his throne. To who? To himself. No one can take the throne of David from himself. Only David can do it. No one can take the high priest garment of Aaron. Only Aaron can lose it. That's why God said, when I took off the two sons, Aaron could lose his garment, could stay out of his position, could think something in flesh and could curse me. So Moses, you go and tell him. You may think, Aaron knows. Aaron is anointed. If the Lord did not plan a purpose in telling Moses, you should tell Aaron to hold his peace. Don't you know? Moses was speaking prophetically, saying that Aaron, my brother, the high priest of the Lord spoke concerning you. The Lord told you, hold thy peace. And what will happen when the spirit of prophecy speaks? It shall happen as it is. That's why you see, Jesus could not heal everyone. Why? Only those who believed in the word of the Lord, they received. There could be thousands can run to him. Say, Son of David, heal us, heal us. The mouth can shout and scream. The words can be heard by all the disciples. But Jesus Christ, he knows, who believes truly, if I touch his garment, I'll be healed. If I just be touched by his shadow, I'll be healed. Those who had that hunger and thirst, unquenchable belief, they were all healed. But those thought, if he don't heal, let's go to this guy. If he don't heal, let's go to this guy. If he don't heal, let's go to that guy. That is not faith. That is not unwavering faith. It's an attempt. Let me throw 1,000 stones, hoping to hit one. That is not faith. That is luck. So, when the Lord taught all of us, the king who was thrown into Brook Kidron, the valley, the truth is, the kingdom of Israel was moving with David because he was not alone. He had Ittai. He had faithful servants who were willing to die for him. He had people who wanted to go with him against Absalom. A king is where the people are. Amen? The throne of the king is where the king is. The scripture says David walked barefoot in the valley. What does it mean? Even if there is no sandal at your feet, even if you don't have the clothing of the king, even if there is no throne in the valley, wherever the anointed David is, the spiritual kingdom of Israel, the spiritual throne of Israel moves with him. He is moving with his inheritance. He is moving with the portion of his land. Who is the land? The people. And now you see, the wilderness of Israel, the high priest was moving with the people for whom he was anointed, ordained, he was offering sacrifices, he was called for. We could see they were keep on moving. But what's the point if those people reached the promised land but they had no high priest? Does that mean that was a promised land? No. The high priest was not a bus driver to deliver the people into some destination. Moses, the leader of Israel, was not a tourist guide. Oh, go this way. Oh, you found the promised land. I can see afar off. Let me die here. He was not the tourist guide. The pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, was leading the people. And the Lord appointed elders, prophets, high priest, and Moses, who was above all of them, to lead them. The wilderness was a moving promised land for those who truly believed in the Shekinah glory of the Lord. What would be different if you go into the promised land? Honey? Milk? So can we love the Lord for the milk and honey? Can we love the Lord because that land, no war, Joshua overcome all the battles, people rested. So can we love God for rest? Can we love God for healing? Can we love God for deliverance? Is God like a general physician for you? Is God a police officer for you? Is God like a worker who built the wall for you? That's it? That is all we have for the Lord? That's all our love for the Lord? Those who are filled with the Spirit of God, those who know that the presence of the Lord speaking to us, is the promised land, that's all I want. That is my exceedingly great reward. Abraham, he received the great reward. Moses, he received the great reward. Aaron, he received the great reward. But those people who were around him, with him, those who thought the promised land was my great reward, they did not make it. Those who thought, we will trust and obey, we will do everything, we will build the tabernacle, we will do everything for that piece of promised land, that we will eat honey and drink milk for some mere carnal desires, they did not make it. Because the Lord placed a 40 years trap for them to see if they truly seek Him, to see if they truly treasure Him, to see if they truly desire for Him, to say, Lord, we don't want promised land. As long as you are with us, as long as your presence leads us, enough, our life is complete. Only Moses said that. Only Abraham said that. What Moses said, I won't take a single step if your presence is not leading me. That's it. That is the walk of a true Christian, a true faithful follower of Christ. Moses said, Abraham said the same thing. If your presence shall not lead me, I am not moving from here. My life is complete if you can lead me. Just tell me you will be with me. Fine, I will do whatever you want. And God told Joshua, Joshua, I told this to Moses. Just do what he said. No, he didn't say that. He repeated the same thing to Joshua, because that word of prophecy has to come to life in the name of Joshua. Because the Lord called everyone by name. There is an agreement, a covenant that He signed with all of us by name. Every single one of us. Amen. He told Abraham, be fruitful, multiply. He told Noah, be fruitful, multiply. He told Abraham, be fruitful, multiply. Why? He could simply tell them, I'm very busy. Just refer to my previous prophecies. No. He is all about specifics. He's all about the names. So, that is the Lord whom we serve. Last 3 weeks, we meditated on the beautiful pattern of the Almighty. He anointed Aaron by Moses. He anointed David by Samuel. After Aaron was consecrated for the service, after Aaron was called to do the priestly service of the Lord, he was thrown into a valley. after David was chosen by Prophet Samuel, after David was identified by God Almighty to start the work, he was thrown into a valley. We thank the Lord. Brother Paul started the song today with the valley. We are moved by the same Spirit of the Lord. Valley. Because there is something the Lord hides in the valley. He wants his sheep to go and search, smell it and find it. Because the Lord would never send us into any valley without a great blessing that is reserved for you there. Because valley is a treasure hunt. Amen. David went down. You know, Eliab said, why did you come down hither? What the Lord told his disciples, to all of us, come up hither. And what Eliab said, David, why you came down hither? Who told you to come down? Which means David was on a higher ground. And the Lord threw him into a valley. Because the battle was going on in the valley. What David received in the valley? David manifested what the Lord sowed in him. When Prophet Samuel anointed, it's an enlightening process, quickening process, triggering, stirring up for things to come to life. But David was chosen by who? The Lord who created him. All of us were in his mind. Every one of you, the Lord has called, ordained, anointed, consecrated, sanctified, washed. But he revealed his truth at that appointed time of life. By then, we can come to the marvelous light. Amen. We were all not called at the same age, correct? Some of us are very young. Some of us were called when we are 40 plus, 50 plus. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Because the scripture says, many people were working in the vineyard. The Lord sent people different times. But he gave all of them the same reward. Because there is one God, one Spirit, one faith, one reward. We can't quantify him. He is immeasurable. And that's exactly what the Lord is speaking to us today. David, as long as he was holding on to the heavenly riches, which is immeasurable, can't measure the greatness of God, because he was led by Spirit as the anointed King David. But when that anointing left him, when he became King David, he fell. But the high priest, the name itself, my brethren, is called the high priest. Amen? You see the difference here. You can be the king of the land Israel, physical land, physical people, physical palace, physical building, mighty army. But in order for a king of Israel to be the anointed king of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord must be resting upon him. Amen? But for the high priest, he was called to be high priest. He cannot earn that name without being anointed. Because a priest is anointed to do the service of the Lord. Amen? If that high priest thinks that I serve the Lord all these years, suddenly, remember Eliashib, Shemaiah in the book of Nehemiah, how they stepped down from their anointing by committing some fornication to help evil things to come to the tabernacle. They could be called as priests in the world, but to the Lord, they are nothing but Pharisees, Sadducees that we see in the Old New Testament. So the Lord called all of us for that calling, kingdom of priests to come to life in our life, for that calling that he had made us into kings and saints unto him, amen, priests unto him, for that calling to come to life in our life, we must believe the Lord said this. Because of that, it will happen as it is. The Lord called you, you will be my bride. Amen? If you are always on the doubt, can I be the bride? Maybe, may not be. I don't know, maybe I'm not there yet. This is not faithfulness. This is not faithfulness. We can be humble. We can repent. But my brethren, never, ever doubt what God has spoken about you. That is the first deception the enemy will whisper in your ears. You are not. No, don't think of yourself high. You are not the bride of Christ. You have a lot to do. You have so many things to gain. What the thought will yield? Unfaithfulness, weariness, inferiority complex. But that is not from the Lord. The Lord would want us to walk with Him humbly, but not with confusion. I pray that none of us fall into that temptation of doubting what God spoke about you. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray. They could not do it only at that point of time. But they did it when the Comforter was given to them. Correct? So can you say, you see the three disciples, the Lord spoke, but it did not fulfill. Who said that? It was fulfilled at that appointed time of life. For them, they are bound to time. But for Him, He is the one who gave us time. He told Peter, I have prayed for thee. That's it. He told all of us, I have prayed for you. So, whenever we fail, rise up and tell yourself, now I failed. Because my flesh fails. But my God would never fail. He spoke something about me. That something will come to manifestation tomorrow. Next week. Next month. Next year. I don't know when. But it will come to manifestation for sure. For the foundation is sure. Until then, I believe I will see the world. I will see my life through Christ. And He will see me through. So never let your flesh say, you are not the priest of the Lord. You are not the kings of the Lord. As long as the King of Kings rule your heart, you are the king who yield to the king. As long as your heart desires to serve the Lord, you are the priest who is subject to the high priest, who is also interceding for you. So, Samuel anointed David. David was thrown into valley. Moses anointed Aaron. Aaron was thrown into valley. Aaron faced golden calves. David faced Goliath. But the most beautiful lesson that we learn from both of them is, Prophet Aaron, Prophet David could not be influenced by the people around them. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, they rebelled against Moses. But don't you see, because they could not influence Aaron. Moses was always up on the mountain, correct? Who was in the valley? Aaron, all the time. Aaron, all the time. Moses was with the Lord. Why? God gave him assignment. Write Genesis. Write about the books. He gave him so much work. So Moses was busy in preparing everything for all of us to eat today. Don't you see? Those priests, whatever they did in the wilderness, you and me, we are eating today. Apostle Paul was killed. Who said that? We are still learning from him and not completed. Whatever the epistle that he wrote, it is so deep that it can speak louder day by day. Who killed Apostle Paul? No one. The Lord buried Moses, but no man can find. But you can still find the work of the Moses in the scripture. He is here. Why? All the vessels of the Lord, the work that was done through the vessels of the Lord, you can see them here. Can you see Brother Gunn here? Can you see Brother Branham here? Can you see all the saints of God who was taken by the Lord? You can see them here. Why? They did not preach anything outside this. They should be here. Why? They are also part of the word. They cannot be killed. David cannot be killed. We are speaking about him for the last few months. But he died long ago. His vessel was taken long ago. The carrier of the flesh. But his work still speaks because it's what etched into eternity. When all of us do something that is etched into eternity, the time cannot hold it. You understand? The time cannot contain you. The time will try to make you forgotten. But the work that you do for the Lord will break everything, will burn everything, will come out. Correct? It will come out. Stephen was stoned to death. He barely lasted 2 chapters in the book of Acts, brethren. Just 2 chapters, his name was mentioned. Just 2 chapters. He gave 1 speech in 1 full chapter. Next chapter he was killed. Okay, that's it. The name of Stephen, how many thousands of times, millions of times, being preached since he was killed. The name Stephen is still alive. Amen? The testimony of Stephen cannot be killed. That is why Book of Revelation wants us to embrace, get some testimony that no man can erase. Receive some testimony that becomes the spirit of prophecy. Why? When the Lord speaks something, it's like a missile that will penetrate every single wall and hit the target. So, a priestly calling, a calling of a royal nation. royal priesthood, holy nation. The holy nation ruled by the king who is holy, the Holy One, and the priesthood, the royal priesthood, spiritual priesthood built upon chief cornerstone, who is our chief apostle, the high priest. Both the sides you see Jesus Christ, the high priest, Jesus Christ, the chief apostle, Jesus Christ, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You see him as a prophet, you see him as a shepherd, you see him as a deliverer, you see him as a conqueror, you see him as a warrior, you see him as a prayer warrior, you see him as the king. Not just that, you also see him as the prince of peace, prince of life. There is no position in the God's kingdom where you can take out the name Jesus. He is from the servanthood all the way to the kingdom of kings, correct? He is from the very bottom to the very top. All in all. High priest sacrifice, and Jesus is the sacrifice. He is also the high priest. He sacrificed himself. He gave himself as a ransom for all. Okay. Son of David, he went for a battle. Oh, he will come with a white horse, with a mighty garment. Whole earth will wail when they see him. He's coming soon. He will come as a warrior to come and fight against all the Goliaths. Everybody will scare to the death when they see him. He will come in such a garment. He's coming. Whatever you can think of from Old Testament until the Lord is going to call us home. In every single servant of God, you and me should see Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today and forever. The Alpha and Omega. Shepherd, warrior, priest, prophet, apostle, whatever you call it. He evangelized. He was a pastor, teacher. He was everything. He is everything. When we understand that, you know now, when God said, Moses, this holy mount, if anyone touch, they will die. So that holy mount consisted of a lot of rocks. It became like a pyramid structure because mountain always starts with a large foundation and goes sharper and sharper to the high. Amen. Many are called, few are chosen. Amen. It's always pointing to the authority, like a triangular shape, like a pyramid. But if we are the part of the word, we are also part of the stone, the lively stone. Amen. The Lord compared himself as a holy mount. He compared himself as a solid rock. He compared himself with water. He compared himself with air that we breathe. He compared himself with light. He identified himself in everything that he created, including he compared himself, the lamb compared himself with a lion. But there is one comparison he made. God is not a man to lie or man to be tempted. What a worse comparison that we gave to him. He could not use the name man for any good comparison, but rather he said, I look for some man to stand in the gap, but I find none. Why the Lord said he find none? Why the Lord said all have sinned, we fall short the glory of the Lord? Why the Lord said that? He is not cursing us. He is not cursing us. He is not insulting us. He is just telling the truth. I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. So in order for you to overcome this, go through me. Be washed through me. Be pruned through me. Be perfect through me. Amen. So now by God's grace, we are going to meditate on these two events of the anointing of the priest, anointing of the king. There were two different sets of tasks. One to rule the people, one to sacrifice for the people. One to go and fight all the battles to protect and shield the people. One to bear the judgment of Israel upon the breastplate. 12 stones. Don't you see, among those 12 stones, there was a stone that was specifically put for the kingdom of Judah, the tribe of Judah, and David was inside the stone, correct? When Aaron goes to the presence of the Lord says, come Aaron, stand before me, be a memorial, remind me continually of my promises to my children of Israel, 12 tribes. When the Lord sees the 12 stones, he remembers the names. He remembers the promises. Praise the Lord. What does it mean? In that stone, there was a stone for Judah. There was a stone for Benjamin. Saul was behind Benjamin. David was behind Judah. Correct? But behind David, Solomon, Nathan, all the way to the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Amen? So that 12 stones was not a decoration. It is more spiritual for the Lord to see, and for the Lord want all of us to see what Aaron carries on his breastplate. And that 12, and that 12 apostolic foundation, that 12 tribes of disciples, 12 tribes of Israel, and 12 disciples, 12 apostles, the Lord has been speaking to all of us how He sees us through Jesus Christ, whom is our judge, our king, our priest, our prophet, our teacher, our shepherd, our deliverer, our sacrifice, who was also killed for us. So, can we say there are two garments we have to change every day? A garment of being part of the royal holy nation, or garment of being part of the priesthood, this and that? No. When the Spirit is described in Scripture in various ways, the fruit of the Spirit is like a prism, like a mirror that brings forth a particular color when the light hits. But that Spirit, our Lord's glory, knows which color you should emit in your life. What color of garment you will be clothed on that day. For today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. How? Because on that day, the light of my Savior will hit me, and the clothing of myself in spirit will reflect a particular light, and will reflect a particular action from me. I will speak something, I will do something, I will say something, I will think something, I will pray something on that day. On that day. For the Lord to see, today you had a clothing which I wanted you to be clothed. Oh, David, you have 5 stones, don't worry. Believe on my name, put your hands in the shepherd's bag, take out any stone, don't think what you are going to take. Don't try to look for a bigger stone or smaller stone or this particular shape. All 5 are called the smooth stone, His grace that He in our life. And David took it and threw it, and the task was done. Amen? The task was done. The same way, as long as we yield to the Spirit of the Lord, because He has given us His grace to serve Him, and that yielding of the Spirit, we submit, when the light of my Savior hits you, you will shine with a color, you will reflect a particular color, like the rainbow, what the Lord set between the earth and heaven, telling Noah, this is my covenant between me and the earth, heaven and earth. It has beautiful colors, amen? We cannot say, I want to be like this, I want to be like that. But rather, we just simply become the purest form of plain water. Let the Lord decide, today, are you going to be the anointing oil, or are you going to be the sweet wine for the Lord to serve you? Who brought the oil? People. Who brought the water pot of stone? People. But who made the oil to be the anointing oil? The Lord. Who made that empty water pot of stone filled with water? Who made it to become wine to be served? The Lord. He can choose you to be water or oil or wine. It's up to Him. He can choose you to put on sackcloth or the clothing of a beautiful prince. Up to Him. For us, we go before the Lord, how? Empty. Empty. Which is, Lord, I am prepared today to see anything that you have prepared for me. I am prepared today to receive any stones to come and hit me, because I am in your hand. I am prepared today to face my life, but let there be no premeditation in my heart that I want this to be this way. But rather, I just want to be in the way of the Lord. Amen? Now, let's turn your scripture. Having this blessed assurance of the Lord whom we serve, let's turn your scriptures to Book of Revelation, chapter 19. So, let's remember what we read so far concerning Aaron and David, the high priest and the anointed king of the Lord. Both of them were for Israel. From different tribes. Amen. Aaron is from different tribe. David is from different tribe. But both of them, they were called high priest of Israel, high priest of kingdom of Israel. But that there was no kingdom in the wilderness. But there was a kingdom in the holy nation of Israel. Amen. Now let's turn your Bibles. Revelation chapter 19. Chapter 19. Verse 7. I will read. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. She was not preferred by some other woman, because there is only one bride. We prefer one another. Amen. We share our burdens one another. We carry one another. We intercede for one another. We live and die for one another. And that is the definition of wife maketh herself ready. Aaron was not some alien. He was from the same tribe of Israel, from the tribe of Levi. But the Lord called him to serve his own friends, his own family. Which means, the Lord says, his promises will be fulfilled in the children's life through his children. Now, wife hath made herself ready. It is the unity of the brethren in the church of the Lord to become one single bride. And he said, verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. It was not an option. When I say should be, it's not maybe, correct? I can say, Brother Clement, I think maybe tomorrow you will put on maybe green color t-shirt. That's a guess. Because Brother Clement can choose red color. He can prove me, oh, you're wrong. But the scripture says, the wife maketh herself ready. When she is ready, she will receive what she is supposed to receive. She will receive what she deserves to receive because of the preparation. And what is that? She should be arrayed in fine linen. That is why she was prepared. Because without fine linen, my brethren, there is no marriage. Do you hear me? Preparation of the bride is to receive the fine linen clothing. Fine linen clothing is to give photo force to the Lord when the marriage happens. When everything would witness that mighty, beautiful wedding, the marriage of the Lamb. And for that, you will be given a beautiful linen, white linen. Fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the scripture says our righteousness is filthy rags. So what is the righteousness of saints? Saints in whom the Lord's righteousness was imputed. Children of God in whom God dwells in them. Jesus Christ, who is doing great works through his disciples. Because he told them, you will do greater works than me. Don't worry. Peter, when I was giving parables, you know, nobody was baptized. But look at you, Peter. You are greater man. You spoke, 5,000 were baptized. What Peter would say? Oh, it's not me. The word that came out of my word is you. The one who went and pierced through the hearts of all those 5,000 is you. The one who baptized them in spirit is you. All glory and honor unto thee, my Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Whether we eat or drink, we do it for the glory of the Lord. And we say, I must decrease, you must increase. And here we read, the righteousness of saints is the work of the saints. Deeds of the saints. Faith with works. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because that invitation is very similar to the invitation Joseph gave. Do you remember when Joseph sent an invitation? That invitation only brought Jacob and the family of Jacob. Was there any other tribe or any other nation could have a right, no, to hop on a right over the invitation? No. That invitation was like an imprint of God's generation. It had a identification. The invitation could not be sent to everyone else. And the Lord says, blessed are those who are invited. If you are invited, we found life. Amen. That invitation is only for life. And the Lord says, blessed are those. And the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. Verse 10 is something the world could not follow today, last church age, the previous one, the previous one, the previous one, and goes all the way. People always love to worship someone because it is easier for them to have some faith, to have someone walking in the midst of them. It is easier for them because we are carnal. You know, we have this desire of making golden calves wherever we see an opportunity. Oh, I heard that this brother was praying and some cancer was healed. Let's build a high place for him. Oh, I heard that there is an apostle in the land of Kenya. I heard that when he was praying, there was an earthquake. Let's all lose our citizenship here and we will go and relocate to this particular land. Idol worship. The Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. The tabernacles of God is everywhere. The God Almighty is like the air that we breathe. He is everywhere. The place where you yield and submit and believe becomes the Lord's tabernacle for Him to dwell. That is a journey, spiritual journey that we take from being unfaithfulness to faithfulness. And the scripture says, I fell at His feet to worship Him, and He said unto me, see thou do it not. Because when we are so humble in the sight of the Lord, when the presence of the Holy, it actually makes you to feel, you know, the divine experience, sometimes the flesh can actually deceive us to do something that we are not supposed to do. And He says, see, thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. I am not the Jesus. John the Baptist said, I am not the true light. Just because I'm baptizing you, don't worship me. Jesus said, oh yeah, you're right. Let me put you into a prison. Let me tell you, let me make you to say something so that people remember John the Baptist told Jesus Christ, are you the one or we are waiting for someone else? The Lord uncovered the nakedness of every single flesh throughout the scripture for all of us to see there is only one absolute. All the goodness of Joseph because of him. All the goodness of Moses because of him. But that doesn't give you the license to tell the Moses, oh Moses, you know, you are a weakest, insincere, unfaithful man. If not for the Lord, you are an evil man. If you tell them, the Lord would say, who is that? Who spoke about my servant? Let's have a discussion. What happened to Miriam? So, the Lord says, the balance of seeing Him as the author of salvation, the Almighty, the Omega, who is all in all, but yet He is in you. You cannot say, I respect God, God alone, I can disrespect every single children of God. The Lord would say, I am in them. You also cannot say, God is in my fellow brethren, I am going to exalt them to the point whereby I will only tell them to pray for me. Idol worship. Who can give you the balance? Him. The one who can make the crooked to be straight. Him. We can say, oh, book of Revelation, mighty revelation is going on. Do not be distracted. The lesson is being taught to all of us in every single verse, through every single vessel of the Lord. The revelation was given to John. Also, there was a lesson being taught to John, not to John himself, for all of us. Because we are the one who receive the revelation. When we receive the revelation, do not forget the one who is the revelation, who is the marvelous light, and who gives his revelation to you through someone. If I say, the Lord spoke to me when I was reading this empty paper, oh, I would remember this empty paper for the rest of my life. I will make a frame on my wall. I will remember this. Because of these two empty papers, the Lord saved me. The Lord would say, you missed the point. You missed the point completely. The one who is the truth has to be the one who dominates your life. All the time. There should be only one king in your land. There should be only one high priest in your land. Everything else subject to him. Servant of him. If you put a man, a book, or anything, or experience before the Lord, you will be blindfolded, thinking that I'm walking in the right direction. You will fall into the pit. So, every single day, the reality check that we should do is, am I in the right frame of mind? That Jesus Christ is my Savior, my Master, my Ruler, my Teacher, everything. He is in every one of my brethren. I love them in Christ. I pray for them in Christ. I give all glory and honor unto Him. But I am here to serve my dear family of God. Because you cannot serve Jesus without serving the tabernacle in whom Jesus is hiding. He's not just living, my brethren, he's hiding. When someone comes and tells you it hurts you, and you still love them and forgive them, that someone will find that Jesus Christ who was hiding in you. When Jesus reveals himself, you see, you did this to him, you did this to her, but still he loves you. You see, I'm in him, I'm in her. Then you say, oh, Lord, forgive me, Lord. So how the Lord met her, how the Lord met him? Through you. A tabernacle is what that keeps something of the Lord, and the Lord will give it to someone whenever he wants. You are like a walking supermarket. The Lord can give vegetables through you, he can give food through you, he can give bread through you, he can throw whatever he wants. But be the tabernacle, be the ark. Let the Lord be the grand master of the feast. Let him serve. Just let him serve. Don't serve yourself. You might go and feed love and mercy to someone, he will choke to death. You might go and feel, oh, I'm going to be very harsh with you, I'll be very firm with you. You will break him into pieces. Our firmness, our being harsh, is nothing compared to the Lord, who is righteous, who is gracious, who is merciful. He knows how to feed. He knows which stone to take. If not, we may think it's a smooth stone, but you will take a sharp stone, you will kill your brother. You may think it's a sharp stone, but you will take a smooth stone and it will push your brother to do some wickedness. The balance of when to take the spear, when to take the sword, the balance of when to wave the white flag and when to go for the battle, the balance of when to speak life, when to say you are wrong, the balance of when to say the merciful, gracious thing and to speak the truth in love, that balance, my brethren, remember this. Our mind can never, ever put it right. Never. It has to be the mind of Christ. Has to be all the time. The mind of Christ is the only way we can do the right thing, speak the right thing, and execute the right commandment at the right time. The word of God is like a license book. The Lord would say, turn right after 500 meters. But your flesh will say, let's turn right now. You will turn. But the time of execution will result in accident. You understand? You are right. You are not wrong to say, I'm following 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 15. Fine. But which time you executed that commandment? Which time you threw the stone? How fast you threw the stone will decide whether you are able to fulfill God's work or not. The time of execution, the delay, it tells us how much we are yielding to him. Because from the book of Revelation, we are going to book of Isaiah and book of Daniel. How the Lord called us to be his. Look at this. He said, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. The fulfillment of whatever the Lord spoke about you. That's why scripture says, whosoever believeth on him, the life abideth on him. Whosoever do not believeth on him, the wrath of God abideth on him. That is not a curse, that's a truth, that's a fact. The Lord said, you are the apple of my eye. He said that, right? But how many of you take power from that verse? What do you do? This pain, this sickness, or this supervisor, or this financial problem, or this problem, this relative. Oh, we scream and we go and bang the wall, we shout and we scream. And the Lord is keep on telling, apple of my eye, apple of my eye. You don't listen to him. You want to be the powerful man in your house. You want to be the powerful woman in your house. But you don't want to be the apple of the eye of the Lord Almighty. No, Lord. I know I will, whenever I feel good, I will just use this verse. No, we are like pianist. We want to press the key whenever you want. No, you are the instrument. He pressed the key. You can't simply take the words that makes you feel good. I'm a good person. Oh, sister, I'm a good person, you know. I have a lot of money. I gave this much to some people because scripture told me, you see, I fulfill God's word. I'm a good person. No. Right hand do not know what the left hand did. Why? There is only one mind. We can't premeditate. The mind of Christ must take over. You don't even know what are the goodness in your life. You won't know. If the Lord truly controls you, you have no idea what goodness you do. Because you are like a flowing river. You don't sit and see what you are doing. No, you will be keep on flowing. Why?
Only then the pride beast cannot jump over you. Why? Because you are traveling at a speed, the beast cannot jump over you. You keep on flowing. You don't think about your past and take glory, but rather you look unto the eternal hope of glory and keep press on. If Moses stood and looked back, 13 and years of mighty leadership, how many miracles performed through me? See, 10 plagues, Red Sea divided into two. Those who stood against me, now they are actually inside the earth, Korah, Abiram. Seems I am the mightiest servant the world has ever seen. If he had thought that, then the Lord cannot glorify his name in Moses. But if also Moses thinks, I will remain as a weak man, or I will remain as someone who is unfaithful, I won't believe in whatever the God did, maybe the people are right, maybe we won't enter the promised land. Both are two different extremes. Extremely overconfident, extremely no confidence. But there was a balance in the life of Moses. The Lord who called me, the Lord will justify me. The Lord who delivered me, the Lord would redeem me. The Lord who led us in the wilderness, he would bless us to reach the promised land. There was a contentment, there was a peace deep inside those who finished the race. David, Joshua, Moses, Abraham, look at all the names. They had some inner peace that they know that this will come to pass. Absolute blindfolded confidence, not to walk by sight but by faith. Amen. Now continue reading this. And I saw heaven opened, because verse 10, there was a revelation given to John. Not just a revelation of, 10b, this and that. But there was another revelation. Worship God alone. For testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do not worship man. Amen? Do not worship anything that is not God. And then he saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make a war. So who is the Lord? The Lord is not someone who show white flag to all the world. No. Sometimes he overthrow the table. Sometimes he submit and yield to be sacrificed. But in the book of Revelation, he comes for war. He wage war against everything. David did not put a white cloth on the shepherd's staff and wave against Goliath. It may look like that, right? Oh, you come with a staff, no armor, no weapons. Maybe he's going to take some white, beautiful cloth, fine linen clothing, tie it on the staff and plead for life. Goliath, we are all at your feet. Forgive us. And from this day onward, kingdom of Israel is at your service. It looked like that. He took a stone, killed him. Case closed. He came simple and did the most complicated job. Case closed. And when the Lord said, I'm coming for war, he's going to fight. Amen? He's going to fight. Because he said, in righteousness he judge and he make war. In the counsel of godly people with godly wisdom, thou shalt make war. What is the war? The war against fleshful thoughts and divine thoughts. The war against confusion and assurance, confidence. It's also a war, battle, no, in the mind. That is why fellowship is very important. You know why? In fellowship, we might be thinking this is correct, but the Lord would tell you, no, it's wrong. You may be thinking it is wrong, but the Lord would tell you, no, it's right. But you may think, Lord, you can deal this with me right, directly, right? The Lord would say, no. Certain blessings are reserved to be taken from fellowship. It is also like a valley, a beautiful valley. He won't give it to all of us all the time alone. He won't do it. The promises of David was uttered by Prophet Nathan, not by David himself. Don't forget, David is a mighty prophet. Correct? Can the Lord say, David, I am going to fill you with my spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. I am going to prophesy about you to you. Tell me in which scripture you have seen this. He sent Prophet Nathan to prophesy about Prophet David. David was a mighty prophet. Don't forget that. Book of Psalms is a mighty book of prophecy. He is a king, priest, prophet, everything. But the Lord anointed the prophet Aaron by Prophet Moses. The Lord anointed Prophet Apostle Paul through his servant Ananias. Why? The Lord needs all of us to understand you need one another who sits next to you. We all need one another to finish the race together. Amen? Without us, none of us will complete our life. Because that one missing sheep is in the midst of us, not here, the whole world. Until that missing sheep enters to his kingdom, the Lord would say, game is not over yet. I have not scored the final winning goal, that last winning soul. Now, in this blessedness, his eyes were as flame of fire, verse 12, and on his head were many crowns, not one, many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture of dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Verse 13, I want all of us to remember a story which I shared with you quite some time back. The little lion which killed the snake, the poisonous snake, to protect that innocent child in that cradle, when the husbandman, the father, came, he saw that lion sitting outside the post of that house, at the doorpost, with blood dripping from its mouth. I want you all to think about yourself as the man who had the axe in his hand. Your thoughts, your words, your action. It is in your heart. That axe is not in your hand. It is in your heart. The tongue is your hand. You can take that axe and kill someone, correct? You can kill people by speaking. Now, when you go into the house of the Lord, you see that lion sitting with blood. You think, what a violent lion, beastly nature, kill my child, let me kill that lion. Kill that lion with all your words and actions and intents and thoughts, and that lion is devoured, died. When you went inside, the child was unharmed. The child was unharmed, healthy, beautifully sleeping, and there was some poisonous snake below the cradle, into pieces, full of blood. So, which deceive your mind, the blood dripping from the mouth of the lion. If the same lion was sitting near the doorpost, like moving his tail like a dog, you would think, oh, my little puppy, come hug. But because of the dripping blood, you thought the lion is a murderer. Because of the sacrifice our Lord and Savior made on Calvary, because of the truthful word that he spoke during his 3 years plus of ministry to speak to all of us, parables, truth. When he said, before Abraham was I, all the Pharisees, Sadducees, they saw blood on his mouth. Blasphemy! Take the axe! Kill him right there! How dare you to say, before Abraham was I? Abraham was a child in his hand. The Alpha and Omega. But they couldn't see. The ministry of the Lord was a child in the hands of the high priest, the chief apostle. But people couldn't see. All the apostles of the Lord were killed. Not just by stones and weapons, by our thoughts and words. We tormented them. We tortured them. We killed them. Don't say, no, I didn't. All of us are guilty. What happened to Jesus happened to every single servant of Jesus. Why? He said, they hated me before they hated you. They killed me before they killed you. They would think that they are doing for a service of the Lord. They will drag you out of synagogue and they will stone you to death. Correct? Do you think our Lord, oh, all my servants are killed? Yes! All my apostles are tortured to death. Wow! Was he enjoying the show? Do you know how serious he is when his servants are going through persecution? Do you know how angry he gets? But he controls his anger. You know why? There is his agape love that makes him to wait. But don't think that anger will disappear. No, he waits. He will burst out his anger when he comes. Why? His anger cannot disappear. It just reserved. The scripture says, the wrath of God is righteousness. It is reserved. Clothing dipped in blood. When high priest Aaron, he dipped the blood and sprinkled 7 drops of blood on the mercy seat. For what? Oh, 7 drops, 7 church ages, 7 messengers, 7 spirits. Let's not be confounded by the knowledge. That is fine. I understand. We have to learn scripture, we have to study scripture, that's all very important. But there is something extremely important than all of it. Where do you see yourself in that verse? Where do you put yourself in that lesson? If you don't, we will spend the rest of our life learning, understanding, decoding everything. But you did not submit yourself for pruning. You did not submit yourself for washing. you did not submit yourself for the Lord to do some changes in you. We are changing from glory to glory. By how? By throwing yourself in that solid rock. Hit yourself for the flesh to die, for the man to stand. By you fall on the double-edged sword for the flesh of Saul to be killed, for the spirit of the Lord creation to be stand up. We are called to kill our beastly, fleshful nature. Every day. I want all of us to be the active players in that verse. Not as a spectator who read the book. That is the top priority in our life. Then everything adds up together. Good. We learn, we study, we show thyself to scripture, we learn. That's all good. But there is this. Conforming to his image. Where do I stand in this world? Oh, this verse talks about enemy. Don't worry. Put yourself there. You will see a lesson there. Because you could have been the enemy, right? But you are not. Why? Ask yourself why. Not why. What is there for me to learn? This personal encounter is important for us to understand his virtue dipped in blood. Which blood? Whose blood? And for what? You are always the reason in that verse. You are one of the reason in that verse. Amen? Now, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Wow! Just few verses before we read the verse, the Lord gives this to them. You know, this fine linen, clean and white. The word clean is the completion of God's perfection in our life. Amen? He washed the clothes, he scratches, he scrubs us, he tortures us in a good way. For all the stain to remove, we will be washed thoroughly. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. This is where we bring the last two sermons to converge. That he shall rule them with a rod of iron, not wood. Shepherd's staff was not made of iron, it's made of wood. A piece of wood. But the rod of iron, forced through fire, not taken from a dead tree, but forced through fire by trained, anointed goldsmith. The Lord prepared the tool by made of iron, spiritually. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was not just written anywhere else, but also on the vesture. But that vesture was dipped in blood. Amen? Dipped in blood. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Come up hither, that ye may eat the flesh of kings. Then who are these kings? The Lord said, King of Kings, correct? Verse 18 says that ye may eat the flesh of kings. What those high priests did in the wilderness? People offered sacrifices to the Lord through the priest, and the priest offered sacrifices. They ate the flesh, right? They ate the flesh of whatever that was offered. Depends on what they are offering. Peace offering, sin offering, burnt offering. But the priest, they also took their food from their offerings, correct? Eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains. And the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Verse 18 is the reason we spent a lot of time on studying the scripture on King Hezekiah, who was the king of Israel, king of the people on the time. And there was another king who came, Sennacherib. He had a captain, chief captain, the prince of all his army, Rabshakeh, the title of the captain. He came with horses, mighty armies. You can see the same sequence here. Flesh of kings, flesh of captains, flesh of mighty men, flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and flesh of all men, both free, unborn, both small and great. If you look at that with a bad example, they were destroyed. Not by men, but by the angel of the Lord. Angel of the Lord smote them. And the king was killed in a different way. By his very own two sons. By his very own two sons. Now, this is where the Lord introduced himself to all of us, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Last two Sundays, anointing of priests, anointing of kings, and kingdom of priests. Now let's turn your scripture to book of Isaiah chapter 61. Book of Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 1 to verse 11. Thank you, brother.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Verse 4. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Indeed, of your shame you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery or burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Verse 9. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me in the garments of salvation.
Amen.
And covered me with the robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
Amen.
For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. But before that verse 10, there was a clothing mentioned in verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Ask you a question. If we are all called the planting of the Lord, then there is a land for you to be planted. Am I correct? If there is no land, how will you plant? So there is a land, and the Lord plant you in that land for you to bloom. And before that, the Lord says, if you want to bloom as a garden, where he will come and speak to us, tells us, I am who I am, and you belong to me, that beautiful garden where we are planted. The Lord says, I want to clothe you with the garment of praise. What is your another name? True worshipper of God, correct? Can you worship God without spirit? No, that is not true worshipper. Can we praise and worship him without spirit? No, you can't. So if you have to worship him in spirit, if you want to praise him in spirit, speak about him in spirit, receive the sermon in spirit, listen to one another testimony in spirit, the Lord says, I must put on the garment of praise. Because garment of praise is nothing but the spirit of the Lord. There is only one spirit. Amen. Clothing by spirit can make you to praise him in spirit and to cry in spirit. And to dance in spirit and to go on knees in spirit. And to fight for the faith that you have, the Lord has given you for spirit. But sometimes the Lord will bless you to yield and be stoned and to be heard by spirit. Not by your mind, not by your knowledge, not by the lessons, but by the clothing of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord. So verse 3 talks about garment of praise, how important it is. Rejoice, be glad. Show me your confidence in me. Show me that you are crying, mourning, but you are not losing your focus on me. The Lord says, are you focused? Now, let's go to verse 10. Verse 10 says that he is actually focusing on the preparation of the marriage, correct? Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Why? I was called to rejoice in the Lord, but now I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. The exceedingly great reward, he gave his spirit of garment of praise on me. Now, I am not any natural man, but the supernatural power of the Lord is in me. I can outrun my problem. I can outrun my challenges. I can fly above the head. I can fly above the offense. I can fly above the storm because I am an eagle, not a chicken. Correct? An eagle, we fly above the storm. The storm can't do anything. We can simply, oh, good storm, enjoy your show. I will wait because you can't wait. You know, the difference between God's children and the storm is, you can wait to see the death of the storm, but the storm cannot wait to see the death of you. Correct? How long you will scream? Scream, I will wait. I will rest in the eye of the storm. Scream. Shout. Kill me. Attack me. Do whatever you want. I shall rest in the eye of the storm. Why? Greater is he who is in me. I can wait. Because he waits, right? He waits. He waits. When Jesus Christ stood up from the boat, did he say, oh my dear storm, I beg your pardon. Please, leave my disciples alone. Let them have some faith in me. Please, I beg you, stop. No, he said, rebuke the storm. Stop it. Jesus rebuked the storm. He did not request the storm. Everything bows to him. He is in you. Then why we fear? Then why we are scared? That is exactly what David told Goliath. How dare you to feed fear to my God's children? How dare you? He removed him. Why? Whatever replaces the fear of God, the Lord would not repair. He will destroy. Sickness, confusion, pain, whatever it is, man worshipping, whatever it is, if the fear of God is replaced, God will not be in the tabernacle. Your reverence, your honor to the Lord is seen, smelled by the Lord by how much we fear him in his word, by his love. How, why he loves me like this? I fear him. That is a true fear. Amen? Now, here it beautifully says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Garments of praise, singular, verse 3. Garments of salvation, plural, in verse 10. High priest Joshua, book of Zechariah, chapter 3. Don't forget whatever we read. What the scripture said, the angel of the Lord told, remove the filthy garments, plural, and put on new garments, plural. Why? The Lord can give you different tools, different armors. He can bless you to use it at the right time. He will give us the wisdom to speak at the right time. What to speak, what not to speak. Silence, garment. Speaking, garment. Singing, garment. Praise, worship, prayer on knees, garment. Everything is the way you react. Because you are a worker of the Lord. The very first sermon, the children said, oh, builder, doctor, nurse, police, whatever it is. Why? By the garment they saw what is their profession. When you come into the holy tabernacle, the Lord would see your garment. Today you are here for interceding, let's start. Oh, today you are here for praying for healing, let's start. Oh, today you are here for preparing something, let's start. He knows us by what we desire in our heart. Your intent is the deeper reflection of your outward appearance, correct, to the Lord. Now, he says, garments of salvation, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, because robe of righteousness covers you. Anyone, all of you, everyone, all of us, there is a beautiful segmentation of clothed me with garment of salvation, covered me with the robe of righteousness. Correct? Robe of righteousness, he covered me, clothed me with the garment of salvation. Clothing, hide my nakedness. Robe of righteousness, shine my blessedness. What is the righteous deed of the Lord in my life? Robe of righteousness, the proof that I have done this work for the Lord. You see, in different countries, there are a lot of military officers, police officers, right? Depends on the achievement that they did for the society, depends on the accomplishments or their service, genuine, loyal service, they will have some star on their shoulder. In some countries, it is on the chest. Some countries, it is on the right shoulder. 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, something like that, correct? To segregate them, which cadre they belong to, in armies, in police officers, right? So something to show how far you have come, something to cover your nakedness, correct? Clothing and a robe. Now he says, let's look at here on the board. Decketh himself, adorneth herself. Two different words, correct? Decketh himself with ornaments, adorneth herself with jewels. How the verse is uttered, it says, cover me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. With her jewels, correct? Decketh himself, adorneth herself. Royal priesthood, holy nation. It's the title of our today's sermon. Last Sunday's sermon was what? Kingdom of priests. Praise the Lord. But today, royal priesthood, holy nation. When Moses spent the first 40 years of his life, where was he? In the royal palace. Then he was thrown out of that royal palace. He embraced priesthood. For what? To form a nation. Look at my hand. 120 years. Let's say this is Moses' life. Amen? 40 years royal priesthood. 40 years in the desert alone. 40 years, you know, he was walking with the Lord in the wilderness. Because the Lord met him when he was 80. 40 years of journey. 120, he was taken. Correct? The very last 1/3 of his life was him walking with God himself, you know, in the wilderness. The first two was a preparation. From royal life, he went into wilderness, a lonely life, being a shepherd to his father-in-law and his wife and the family. Then the last 40, he became a priest. For what? For the Lord to build a nation. But he cannot build a nation. He needs a land. The difference between people of Israel in the wilderness and the people of Israel in the promised land was a land. The Lord gave them a land in which he can deal with them. But they will keep on walking. So there was no land in the wilderness. So, royal priesthood, holy nation. Physically in the Old Testament, spiritually in the New Testament. Apostle Paul was here, moving here and there. Same as Abraham and Moses. He was doing the same thing. The only difference was he had no multitude. He was creating multitude wherever he went by speaking. But they become multitude later on. He was sowing seeds. He was also like a leader of Israel, but he became a leader of Gentiles. Spiritual exodus. If you remember a few months ago, I said in the Ark of the Covenant series, the whole series was about why the Lord called all of us to carry his message. From Ark of Noah to the Ark of Tabernacle and to the Ark of Apostle Paul, what he did on the sea, ship was broken, but the message was carried by Apostle Paul who was swimming to the shore. Our life will be broken. But the message that is in you can never be broken. You will deliver the message to someone the Lord wants you to deliver. You will fulfill the promise to someone the Lord wants you to fulfill. We are a messengers of God. Amen. The Lord wants us to pass His light, share His testimony, do His work. The ship cannot stop you. Nothing can stop you. You will swim. He taught you how to swim. Amen. Now, what is this swimming skills? What is this righteous deeds of saints? What is this? Bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. What ornaments? What is this? Bride adorneth herself with jewels. Not any jewels. Her jewels. Not the jewel of great Babylon, the whore. Great whore of Babylon. No. The jewel of the bride who greatly rejoiced in the Lord. Amen? So, Isaiah 61, Revelation 19. Now, before I start, let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 5. Revelation 5, verse 1 to 10.
And I saw on the right hand of him who sat in the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept very much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out to all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints.
Amen.
And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth."
We shall reign on earth. Last verse, brother, last verse.
Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands.
Amen. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Amen. On the earth. The place where we stand will not be the same when he completes the regeneration. The things that we see won't be the same when he restores the order, when he brings his divine heavenly kingdom, when he calls all of us to the new city, Holy Jerusalem. But before that, the Lord has been keep on calling us to understand why we are called and how we are called, in what role we will be with him, in serving him, praising him, worshipping him, and ruling together with him. Where? On the earth. Amen? Now, Revelation 5 and 19 presents how the Lord introduced himself. "Oh, behold, he's coming. There is no man can stand in the gap." So the servant of God, he wept, "There is no one." But the Lord encouraged him by saying that, "Don't worry, I will be in my children, and they will not become no one, but they will receive the glory of mine." Look at the garments alone. There is no flesh and blood inside the garment, just the garment. Last few Sundays, we meditated on, this was prepared for Aaron by the children of Israel, commanded by God through Moses. The sequence is very important. The execution is very important, because the Lord spoke it. Amen? Now, look at this garment. It doesn't have to be accurate. We are not fighting against a doctrine here. That is not my desire, because we are not here to introduce or learn some new doctrines, but rather we are here to confirm what the Lord wants us to focus. The essence of it. Amen? The essence of it. The fruit of it. So there are different descriptions from the turban, from the breastpiece, the ephod, blue robe, the belts and pomegranates near the feet, because when your leg moves, it makes sound. Correct? It will only make sound when your feet move. If the same belts and pomegranates are on your shoulder, or you can hold it in your hand, you can go sneaking like a spy. But if it is near your feet, when you move, it makes sound. 12 stones with the names of 12 tribes of Israel on the breastplate, the 2 onyx stones, the gold plate on the forehead, for him to bear the iniquity of the holy things, holiness unto the Lord. This is just a garment, but there is no Aaron in it. But the moment you see it, you say, belongs to Aaron. Why? Why? It was not given to anyone. Correct? The Lord was keep on telling the name of Aaron again and again and again, to the point that we are all tuned, programmed in our mind. The moment you see it, High Priest Aaron. Praise the Lord. The garment defines the life of Aaron. What little Adam and Hazel said, the very first sermon. The profession of that man earned him a name, doctor, nurse, judge,
lawyer, oh, prisoner, police officer, the profession identified, fulfilled the purpose of that living being. His name doesn't matter, but what his name depicts, it matters. Now, in this garment, let's put on a human being. Now, previously the garment was alone. No life in it, no blood, no bones, no flesh, no soul, no mind, no submission, no disobedience. Why? Because the garment cannot lie. The garment is not a man to speak. The garment is not a vessel to make a decision. It's a garment prepared, like the crown of glory, reserved. The apostleship was not a person. The apostleship was reserved for Judas, who turned aside from apostleship. Correct? But apostleship was not a man. So, king of Israel was not a man. It's a position. It was reserved for David. When David embraced, if you look at the garment, oh, what a beautiful garment. It is more beautiful than my blessed Savior. Then that garment becomes your fall. Correct? So when people take the garment seriously, like Pharisees, Sadducees did, they could not see the one, the true and faithful witness standing before him, before them. They could not see him. Why? He did not tell them, I am he. Throughout the scripture, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, Sadducees, he never told them, I am he. He told this when Judas came with the bands of men. Everybody fell to the ground. But when he was speaking to them, he was actually provoking them for their flesh to manifest, for them to say all the evil things against him, so that we all can learn how flesh will react. When the flesh embraces power and authority more than who had dominion power over all things, as we read in 19 and 5, correct? Now Aaron, a human being, is put inside that vessel. Now the garment covers him. There is a rope on top of him. There are a lot of different components that defines him as a high priest. If Aaron goes to the holy place and tells the Lord, the pomegranate, the bells is disturbing my mind, so I just want to remove it. Lord, let me be a silent, humble assassin for you. I will kill all the flesh. I will kill all the iniquities. But give me a sniper. I don't want to make a sound. The Lord says, no, just play drums. I will destroy everything. No, Lord, give me a sniper. Very subtle. I'll go 3 kilometers away. Just aim, shoot. Nobody knows. It was me who did it. The Lord says, no, just make a sound. Make a sound. Oh, woman, go to the city. Tell everyone I'm sitting here. Oh, can I tell this to my sister or can my mother? No, you go and say. The part of the word speaks the word. Amen? That jewel, that golden bells that is in the garment of Aaron makes a sweet noise, a sound unto him. And every other component of the garment defines what Aaron is called for. The Lord hath not put anything on your body without a purpose. Amen? So every single ornament of this high priest, that is for a reason the Lord has put it, and that reason Aaron must complete. This is the garment of high priest. It is different from the preparation of marriage. Groom decketh himself, adorneth herself, which is uttered for the bride. Adorneth herself. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 13 to 16. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 13 to 16. I will read this. Chapter 6 verse 13 to 16. Amen. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Every time you see the word all things, yea, the deep things of God. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot. What? Keep this commandment without spot. What is this? The Lord says, I gave you 10 commandments. Keep it without spot. What does it mean? It means, do it without compromise. Do it without complaining. Do it as it is. No untempered mortar when the Lord builds his wall. Bring the paste, bring the simon as the Lord commanded us to be. Now, do or keep the commandments without spot is so beautiful, without even mentioning anything about garment, clothing. The verse 14 says, keep the commandments. Keep means, you know, what does it mean? It's not throwing the spear one time. For instance, the Lord sends you some trial, some valley, and the Lord wants you to come victorious because of the holy faith. You bless the name of the Lord, you receive the strength from the Lord, you overcome the battle. You take the spear of all your faith and through it, and you overcome the battle. You should not feel, oh, the next battle, I'll be ready after 5 years. I'm done. Lord, don't send me into any battles. Then what do you mean by fill my cup, Lord? What do you mean by, Lord, fill my shepherd bag, Lord, with stones? Lord, fill my arrows, Lord, on my back. I have bow. Just fill my arrows, Lord. Lord, give me another spear, Lord. We are not losing the armor of God. It is always with us. Keep the commandment of the Lord. Don't throw it away in the name of serving Him. The difference between sword and spear is spear you will throw, correct? It will leave from your body. You have to go and find it. But sword, you will keep it in your hand. You will fight, but it's always with you. Keep the double-edged sword for Him, but keep the word of God in you. Do the commandments. Don't drop it. Saying that I did good last Sunday, that is fine for me. I will take some pleasure. I will wait for another few weeks to do another good thing. No. Keep. Not just do. Do and keep. Do and keep. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Because your virtue will go out. No denying in that. Even for the fountain, everlasting fountain, He Himself said, I felt my virtue is someone took it from me. When the woman took the power from Him. But He is everlasting, never drying. He can fill you. He can fill us again and again. Our weariness cannot make us to be halted. So, it says in verse 14, without spot, unrebukable. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We all want to be unbreakable. But how many of us want to be unrebukable? Actually, I would say I love this word. Unrebukable. But the flesh would say, be invincible. Nobody can touch you. There is no one like you. You are strong, smart, beautiful. You are a good man, well-disciplined. Untouchable, invincible. Nobody can defeat you. Undefeatable. But the Lord says, be unrebukable. By whom? Him. Don't let me rebuke you over and over again. We cannot be that storm that will keep on giving noise. He said, he rebuked the storm, be calm. He told the disciples, O ye, that is faith. He rebuked the storm, he rebuked the disciples, right? He rebuked both. But that rebuking is part of our progress, but that cannot be our norm. The Lord says, reach a place where you will be unrebukable by me. I should not find any spot to scrub you. I should not find any reason to wash you again and again. Let me complete my process. There it is mentioned explicitly. We are going to go there as we close. Look at this. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? We have to attain that measure of fullness of Christ, reach a state whereby we are unrebukable. Not just unbreakable. We can be broken by our life, by our flesh. But we can't be destroyed by His rebuke. Unrebukable. May the Lord bless us that it is in our heart. When Aaron comes to His presence, he cannot dance to some worldly song. He has to dance to some praise and worship when he comes inside. The Lord can hear from the golden bells. What is this bell? What is this music? He may rebuke Aaron that he may not return out. He goeth in, goeth out, that he die not. Amen? David went for the battle, came from the battle, he died not. Because enemies could not kill him. Do you know why? That David who went to the battle against Goliath, the shepherd's staff, with the 5 stones, with simple man as he is, he maintained the same level of faith and trust in God in every battle that was given to him. If you are counted to be faithful in little things, the Lord will trust you and give you great things. Because you know He is the Lord of small and great. You hold on to the Lord. You forget about every other decoration. It doesn't matter if there are millions of Goliath or one Goliath. But that stone will kill all the Goliath. Correct? That is the faith of David. So now, what he says here, verse 6:15, which is in his times he shall shew, who is the blessed and only fountainhead, that the King of kings, the Lord of lords. What we study in the book of Revelation says the King of kings. Now we read, he says, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. Which no man can approach unto. Now you read what book of Revelation 5 said. The Lord said, can I see any man to stand in the gap? But the vessel of the Lord, when the vessel learned that there is no man can stand, he wept, cried. And the prophetical book said the Lord was looking for a man to stand in the gap, but he find none. Without him, we can never please him. Without him, we can never serve him. That is what the God is telling all of us today. And he says, no man can approach unto, and whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen and amen. And the Lord says, I have a name that no man knows. In the book of Revelation, correct? The last verse. Let's all stand as we pray and close. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. Let's all read this together as the Lord called us. He has given us the utterance in spirit. Amen. Let's read it with understanding. Let's read it from the bottom of our heart. Let's read it with gratefulness. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As I pray and close, let's all remember this. May the Lord and his word be etched in our heart. He called you not to be a weaker vessel of him, not to be the lamb that is keep on being bitten by the wolves. No, he has given us a power to tread over the serpents. And also he has given us the privilege to embrace the fellowship of his sufferings. The royal priesthood has to make sacrifices willingly, cheerful heart, all submission with joy and great rejoice in our heart, because he can clothe you with garment of praise. Holy nation, not the nation of the land where Absalom, where King Saul and all the Nebuchadnezzar, mighty kings of the world, they wanted to expand their territory, but knowing not there is the one King of kings who rules and owns everyone. They forgot the true king. They forgot the true king. But the Lord said, he is coming to take us home. As a groom, decked himself with ornaments. And he wants us to be adorned, beautiful, to be in his sight, with the jewels. But the Lord said, adorneth herself in her jewels. He says, I will not deny yourself for you. He said, deny yourself. Why? He made you in his image. That's why. He made you in his image. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he showed all of us, he denied himself. He said, take this cup away from me, but not because of what I want, but according to your will and pleasure. He submitted, he denied. And that ornaments of what the Lord is equipping himself as a king, as a priest, as a prophet, as a groom, as a judge, as a lord, the servant, the counselor. He has so many names, so many crowns on his head. But he will also give you the crown of glory to be with him, to be his wife. The wife of the Lamb is our goal, is our privilege. Amen. you see how beautifully he keeps the name, I'm still the lamb who was sacrificed for you. The wife of the lamb and the wrath of the lamb. Those who are clothed beautifully will be invited for the marriage. And when we are invited, we will be part of the marriage. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we continue to learn from the garments. May the Lord teach us to be clothed like a priest, like the prince of him. Amen. Our glorious Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Good Shepherd, the Son of David, the root and offspring of David. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, that you inherited the kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of Israel, through the family of David. And you inherited all of us by the blood, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by your sacrifice. You have gained the victory over flesh, over spirit, over earth and heaven, everything, O Lord, in the righteous way. May you bless us, Lord, to do the work of you, like you, that you are our absolute truth. You are our absolute teacher. We want to be like you. We don't want to be like any man or any woman, but we all want to be like you. And we see you in one another. May you teach us to serve you by serving one another in love, in truth. The church of God should be the demonstration of the love of God. Not the knowledge, not the doctrines, but the demonstration of the pure love, of the agape love of God. Bless us, Lord, that we stand firm for the faith and the truth, that let no false doctrines, let no man-made thoughts enter the holy tabernacle, that we all defend together as the walls of David, as the walls of Nehemiah, as the walls of the new city, Holy Jerusalem, Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord, guide us. May you be with us and guide us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.